You're not a pagan. We're not pagans. Thank God for that. If you look at the statues of pagan gods, if you ever see one, just look at the hands. Look at the hands of the pagan gods, like Zeus, who is the great and most powerful of the Greek gods. If you ever see a statue of him, he's almost always holding a bolt of lightning. And the pagans would have to go to their gods to beg for things from them. They'd have to go and beg for a favor from them. They would have to do things to gain their approval. They would have to win their favor, and when they finally did, the Greek god Zeus, if you pleased him, he might give you some of his power. But his mind could change like that as well if you did something wrong. And then he would use what's in his hand, the lightning, to strike you down. But we're not pagans. Thank God for that. We're Christians. And the whole thing is completely the other way around for us. For the pagans, they have to win their approval and win the love of their gods. For us, God's love is one in which it's always extended to us first. This reading from the prophet Isaiah, if the pagans would hear it, their immediate response would be, what? Because the Judeo-Christian God is spoken of one who gives freely. Come, all you who thirst, come to the water and drink. Come, you who don't have anything, come and eat in abundance. That what God has, what our God has, is freely given to us. This is radically different from the way that the pagans worship their God and the way that their gods are. That everything, first and primarily, is given to us. God wants to give something to us. And it's when we receive that, that's when we have this desire that's put within us to want to give back, to give of our lives. You become like the God you worship. And those who worship a God who gives freely, a God who gives without counting the cost, is a person who becomes filled with that sort of being, that sort of love, that's charity. This is the life of grace. Grace is that which is given freely. This is who our God is. And there's something about people who live in this part of the world, this part of the country, where we understand a bit about that. People who live as we do in a society in which everything is so based on farming and ranching, people who live close to the earth, we recognize that everything we receive is a gift. There's something in which we're able to see that more clearly. That for a farmer or a rancher, or those who live in a community that's based on those things, we recognize that the rain that comes down, there's nothing you can do to make that happen. That it's a gift that comes, and if it doesn't come, you're not going to have a crop. You're not going to have grass for your cattle to feed on. That sort of way of living shapes who we are. It shapes the values we have. That we recognize that everything in life is a gift. It's a grace. And that changes the way that we live with one another as well. I was talking with a friend, a priest friend, who was from a different part of the country. I'm not going to tell you where, because I don't want you to judge him. Because we don't judge people here, do we? right? But I was explaining to them that when I was young, you know, I grew up in Hazleton, a little farm town, and there was a family who the father died about this time of year, right as harvest was getting going. And the other farmers stopped in the middle of their harvest, and they came over to take off his crop to harvest it for that family. And the people would bring over meals to the house. Even after they wanted the meals to stop, they just kept bringing them. Because to live in a way in which you recognize everything is a grace, everything is a gift, you begin to see the needs of others and you respond to that. That's a heart that's filled with grace. Because we can receive from God and our bellies can get fat, but our hearts can remain small. What God desires to do is not just to fill the bellies as he does today in the gospel. He desires to change their hearts, to stretch them, to transform them and make them big, where they become like his own heart. There's one thing, one last thing I want to point out, and it's one of the gifts that we have, each one of us, that none of us can buy a second more of. It's a gift that we clearly recognize as one that's given to us, and there's nothing you can do to buy a second more of it. And that's the gift of time that we have. And we know how it is, how quickly time flies, how this summer is already flying by, and how it never seems like we have enough time. In the gospel today, they tell Jesus the people are hungry. And he says, what do they have? Feed them yourself. What do they have? Just 5 loaves, 2 fish. Well, bring that little bit here. Bring that little bit you have to me here. And he takes that little bit that they give him and he transforms it. He works a miracle to feed them. When it comes sometimes to our relationship with God in terms of time, we can have a mentality in which we slip back to that pagan mentality where I've only got so much time, there's so little of it. And so we look at things such as prayer and the other sacraments, the time spent in our marriage working on that, the time at the Eucharist, coming to Mass, and we can begin to look at it as pagans. That it's something that, first of all, I have to do. It's this obligation I have. Or it's this thing I feel I know I need to do, and if I don't, I feel really guilty about it. That can become the primary way that we look at that relationship with God. Instead of viewing it as Christians in which it's first of all a gift that's given to us. And what God wants to do through that grace, what God wants to do through prayer is he wants to give you something. What he wants to do through the sacrament of your marriage is to give you something. And to give you something when you come to Mass. That's the first thing he wants to do, to feed your hearts, that they might grow, to feed your soul, to feed your marriage and your family. This is what God desires to do first and primary, is to give us something. In that way, we see then that everything becomes this gift that we've been freely given and that we freely then give as well.